of the Lord was upon him. And they brought him out. Tell your neighbor they brought him out. And put him outside the city. And when they had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." I want to talk about this morning, why does God deliver us even when we resist? Why does God deliver us even when we resist? Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you again for your grace. I ask for the forgiveness of my sins. Clear my mind and my heart, God. Lord, use me as a vessel to deliver the word to your people, God. Bless us, anoint us, and Lord, transform us through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. Rescuing the righteous. Thank you, ushers. Rescuing the righteous. Amen. Isn't it interesting that there are times when we are almost afraid to be free? Sometimes we hesitate, as Lot did, because we're afraid of freedom. We don't know what lies ahead. It's kind of like there's a story of the man who was drowning, and he prayed and prayed and asked God for help, right? And then a helicopter came, and he said, no. You know, God will do that for us, right? I believe that sometimes we're trying to control the narrative of our deliverance. We want it to go a certain kind of way so that we can feel like, well, you know what? Yeah, okay. But oftentimes, even in our hesitation, what I'm gathering from the life of Lot, there's one thing that sets him apart, and there's one thing that sets you apart. No matter how far you may fall from the Lord, always remember this. Positionally, you will always be righteous. I'm going to say it one more time. Positionally, you will always be, in God's eyes, his child, but a righteous child. Because of what Jesus did on Calvary, your life now, the ransom has been paid. Hallelujah. You have been set free. But if you choose to go back into a life that is not pleasing unto God, amen, it does not mean that you're not a child of God. Are you with me? And so as we navigate through this storyline of Lot, we find that Lot has been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. God has sent a rescue team. Come on, help me, somebody. God went out of his way. I was at the airport on Friday, and this guy came and he sat and he just looked distraught. He said, I ain't talking today. I'm just kidding. You know how you get. No, I was coming back from vacation. I was chilling. I was still in chill mode. I was like, I ain't talking nobody to him. So I'm talking, I'm looking up in the sky and everything. Then, you know, I just could not do it. I said, how you doing? I'm good. Then we sparked up the conversation. I'm listening. One thing I learned from my wife is you got to listen. If you listen, people will tell you their whole life story. And I sat there and all I did, I listen in counseling, but apart from counseling, I don't listen. I just keep it moving, but I'm trained to do it professionally. But so I'm just sitting there listening. The guy says to me, yeah, he was in church, he was married for such a long time, got divorced, and you know, he said, and I was a deacon in the church, and I was fired up for God. I hope he ain't watching. But I'm telling your business, brother. And so, and then he was just pouring out to me, right? You know, and I thought about, you know, that one title of Lot, the reason why I was inspired by the title, by talking to him, a departure from the faith. You know, because that's what he has done. And so as we're talking, I didn't tell him I was a pastor. I gave him this card right here, be my guest. He said, he's just moving to Texas. He said, I'm looking for a church. I was talking to the lady at the barbershop, and she was telling me about this place and that place and this place, all the big name churches. And I handed him this card, and he started crying. Because he realized that God was trying to rescue him. He realized that this card was a message from God that no matter how far you fall, come on and help me somebody. That God will do whatever it takes. Don't you love him? I mean, seriously, like, you could turn your back on him, but he'll never turn his back on you. Some people will say they with you. Watch this, but they're not really with you, y'all. Some people will try to tell you that, oh, yeah, 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 all this stuff. But the thing about it is, the one thing you can count on with God is that he will never, ever forsake us. Listen, people may call you whatever, or they may think whatever they want to think about you, but what really matters, let me ask you something, what really matters? What really matters is what God thinks about me. And even though Lot, who was a man who had lost his way, God was still going through the process of rescuing him. And so the question today is, why? Now, in his hesitation, I talked about that last week, week before, it says, so the men what? Seized his hand and the hand of what? His wife and the hands of his two daughters. Isn't it? Imagine that you're so far gone you can't even save the people close to you. Imagine being so powerless that you and I can't grab up the people that we love and bring them to safety. You are hearing the warnings. Have you ever been there? You hear the warnings, but yet you feel paralyzed. You feel stuck. You can't move. That's Lot. And the reason why I believe that God delivers us, the first thing I believe, is because he knows we are weak and powerless. Amen. He knows what? I'm weak and I'm powerless. Imagine being the sitting in a jail cell, the doors are wide open, and you still can't walk out. I'm going to talk about that at 11. Being stuck sometimes is a real thing. Anybody feel stuck? I mean, seriously, like, you really feel stuck. Yeah, you're hesitating and you're resisting because where you are is where you've become comfortable at. And whenever we get comfortable in those dark places, in the pit of life, come on, somebody. God has given Lot plenty of time. Matter of fact, I would say too much time. Amen. But you know what I love about God? He knows the right time. Come on, somebody. And at this moment now, Sodom and Gomorrah is getting ready to be destroyed. The angels are still warning him. But watch, sometimes I believe God has to force us out of sin. Seriously, like he has to really, nothing. Yeah, I'm talking to myself. You ever try to do a repeat, right? And then you go back like nothing is clicking, nothing is working. Come on, somebody. You gotta kind of say, okay, God, I got you. Just remember you're righteous. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean you can't have fun. But in everything you do, it has to be what? In moderation. It has to not cause you to leave the will of God. Listen, when you can't help yourself even to have the mindset to see that your life is falling apart, and yet with all your efforts, watch this, you still remain the same. That's powerless. That's weakness. And I know that that's the reason why God delivers us, saints, even when we resist. Let me ask you something. When somebody, if you're trying to help somebody and they resist, what do? You leave them alone, right? But isn't that awesome that God will never leave you alone? He will chase you down to the ends of the earth until you get back where he wants you. Isn't that a good God? I'm just trying to say now. I'm trying to ask a question this morning. What kind of God is that? What kind of God would just keep seeing me mess up, but yet, come on and help me. I haven't been all that good, y'all. I haven't been all that righteous. Amen. And sometimes we get to a point in life where we start believing that we're right here. But oh, everybody has a weakness. Hey, come on and help me, somebody. And I want to tell you something. The moment that you find yourself in that place where you can't get out, better believe God's going to help you. You know, at first you may not be able to recognize the rescue team. Because the rescue team, just like yesterday, the man didn't know that. He says, I was an intercessor. My job in church was to pray. And I used to pray for everybody. But when I was going through 25 years of marriage down the drain, nobody was there to pray for me. Are you with me? But I don't believe that God is through with him yet. As a matter of fact, I believe when God picks him up, when God pulls him out, when God brings him to a place where he will be used again, he will be used mightily for the glory of God. Think about the church sometimes. We look down on people when they fall rather than trying to pray for them and help them and encourage them and let them know everything is going to be all right eventually when you come back to your right mind. Huh? Now you got to remember that. Now you got to come back to your right mind. It's going to work out. Look what the text said. The text says his whole family, the man sees their hands and the hands of his wife. Look who, everybody. Can I tell you this? Everybody in your life will be affected by your fall. Just remember that. You may think, nah, it's me. But baby, let me tell you something. You're affecting your kids. You're affecting your extended family. Everybody's being affected. But guess what? God will rescue them too. What do you do when your life is falling apart? And you're weak and you're powerless. You have to see God's deliverance. You have to see that God is trying to rescue you, saints. Look what the text says. And here's the thing. This is the beautiful part of this verse. Look what the text says. It says, for the compassion. Lord, have mercy. For the what? The compassion of the Lord was upon him. One thing that the fallen believer never loses is God's mercy. Now listen, grace is one thing. You know what grace is? Favor. Getting stuff you don't deserve. You know what mercy is? Mercy is the reason for the grace. Mercy is almost like God pitying you. Mercy is God saying, I feel so bad for you. And watch this. And then his favor steps in and says, all right, I give you this today. You've been wanting this to happen for you, right? But you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing. But God says, I give it to you anyways. But I'm giving it to you to test you to see how you're going to act after you get it. See, what happens to us is after we receive mercy and grace, you know what we do? We show ourselves. You ever seen a person act real nice to you until they get what they want? Their motives showed up, right? I mean, they're like, they start treating you like. So I believe that the next thing is this, his love, grace, This is why. His love, his grace, and mercy is what? So amazing. I have never met a person in my life with these attributes all at the same time. Uh-oh, got quiet. Lot didn't get what he deserved. Lot did not get what he really deserved, but God gave it to him anyway. So you got to know that's love. We might think, you know what, I'm grown. This is my life. Amen. If God was like us, Lot would be dead. God's mercy and his compassion is what he received. Why wasn't his compassion on his son-in-laws that they left behind? Because they were not righteous. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help you to understand. Stop letting people put labels on you just because you ain't going to church when they go to church, or you're not doing what they're doing spiritually. Listen, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you are in the righteous. Now listen, I'm not saying you're supposed to live any kind of way. I believe that a righteous person starts living right. That's what righteousness really is. Amen. I believe that a person who's really sold out to this thing will set themselves apart because they understood where God brought them from. And I don't know about you, but God has brought me from a mighty long way. When I think about, listen, every now and then I just have these thoughts in my mind. And I said, Lord, I just thank you. Because when I look at other people, how they're trying to live life without God, it's so amazing to me. And I just have to stop all day, every day. And every now and then it happens a lot in my life where I start thinking, man, I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. God's grace and mercy is supposed to be accompanied, and your return to God is one thing. You know what that is? Gratitude. You can't teach a person to be grateful. Have you ever helped somebody and then they showed their no gratitude at all? I mean, they didn't even say thank you. Matter of fact, they had an entitlement spirit. They thought that they deserved it. Because, watch this, because you their family member or something like that. No, you don't deserve nothing, boo. Here's the thing, here's what we have to learn, saints. We have to learn that when God is good to us, we return to him gratitude. Gratitude. When people do stuff for me, I am so grateful because I realize people don't got to be good to me. How many of you know people ain't got to be? How many of you know nobody has to be good to you? But when God extends his grace, I believe Lot, God delivered them because of his love, his what? Grace and his mercy. How many of you can say it's amazing? How many of you say I didn't get what I really deserve? Huh? Anybody here made it? Come on, somebody. You drove home. You were praying all the way. When you woke up the next day, your car was parked in two parking spots. And then you said, I wouldn't do it again. Come on, help me, somebody. But yet, God's grace. Come on, help me, somebody. Why does God deliver those who don't want deliverance? I don't get it. But hey, his grace is amazing. The next thing he says here in this text, the text says, and then, watch this, the text says, after you see God's compassion in the text, look what it says. You know, it's interesting here. It says the compassion of the Lord was upon him. When God's mercy is upon you, it's evident. You can see it. You can experience it. And guess what? You can actually feel it. Like, man, I know this person didn't just do this for me. And when you are a recipient of grace, mercy, watch this, and favor, God is extending that so that your heart can soften. And you can be like, man, I know I don't deserve it, but yet I got it anyways. And maybe this will be the time that you and I can say, you know what? All right, God, I surrender. I hear you. I surrender. The text says, and they brought him out. Ain't that something? If Lot would have stayed there, y'all. Imagine God's trying to save somebody who don't want no saving. You ever help a person who want no help? Huh? I watched this movie called Good People. I don't know if y'all seen that movie. That's a deep movie, isn't it? That whole scenario. Amen. And then the whole connections and the dots as they were connecting. That could be a Christian movie, but it's not. But here's what I'm saying. In that movie, this young girl got into an accident that wasn't her fault. Somewhat her fault. But she lived with the guilt, difficult to be set free. But can I help you with something? With God's grace and with God's mercy and when his compassion is on you. Can I say something? I know we got kids. Don't take advantage of his grace. Or let me just say this. Stop taking advantage of his grace. Let me just say this. Recognize that compassion, God's compassion is on you. Stop looking for validation in things and from people and look at the fact that you are a righteous child of God with God's grace, mercy, favor, and blessings upon your life and stop playing this game, watch this, where you feel less than because you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And no matter how far you fall, our Jesus will pull you out. Come on, somebody. He will bring you out and put you outside of the city. In other words, he'll Uber you out. I took Uber for the first time. It was fun, but it's expensive. I'm like, wait a minute. They want me playing on this app. And you, more you play, the more you ride. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm paying for this. I just thought it was a neat idea. It was cool, though, but I was paying for it. Can I help you with something? You'll always pay to walk away from God. It costs you something. Are you with me? The last part of this verse says, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. So the last third thing is this. He is the only one who knows how to rescue the righteous. God is the only one. The reason that God rescues those who resist is because he's the only one that can do it. You see, God knows where you will end up in life. And he knows where you need to be in life. And he knows the proper timing to pull you out. Aren't you glad? Come on, somebody. Some of us, you had to lose everything. Some of us, it only took one time and you got the picture. You're like, all right, I got it. Some of you, he had to break you down. Why do you think you're sitting in church today? Listen, some of you, he had to break you down. He had to take my mind. Come on and help me, somebody. I had to lose everything. I had to get to a point in life where I felt hopeless, and then he rescued me. But oh, his rescue is awesome, saints. And the thing about God is that he knows how to do it, when to do it, what time to do it. Watch this, he knows you and I, and he knows where to bring you to. He brought them out. God had to separate Lot from where he was in order to minister to him. Because while he was trying to minister to him in Sodom, he wasn't getting it. There was too much distractions, so he hesitated. Can I ask you a question? What's your distraction? What is it that's distracting you from your deliverance? What's holding you up? If God knows how to do it, why won't you surrender and let him do it? Can I tell you something? You know, I understand addiction Because an addict always thinks of, cannot picture a life without the substance. Because that's all they've come to know. But it requires your trust in God. That what he has planned for your future is better than what you're planning right now. Oh, somebody should have shondoed right there. Verse 17 says this, and when they had brought them outside, watch this, watch the warning. One said, escape for your life. Do not look. Oh, somebody, I'm trying to help you. You keep looking, you keep talking about what you used to have. You keep talking about where we used to go. You got all kinds of records about the past, but he says, do not look behind you and watch this, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains. I will lift my eyes to the hill from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. And I'm trying to help somebody to let you know the valley is not where you're supposed to be. The valley is not where you're supposed to buy real estate. It's not a relocation place. It's a transit place. It transmits you from one place to the next. You're heading up to the mountain. You're heading up to the hill. And you got to believe that what God has for you is for you. The devil has already stolen from you. But what you got to do now is don't take back what he stole from you, but go get what God has already set up for you. Because if he took from you, he can take again. So guess what, devil? You can have that old stuff. I'll start over. Why? Because God is moving me from the valley to the mountain. Come on and give him a hand clap of praise. Here's the thing. He will rescue you, but it's up to you to stay free. It's up to you. It's up to you. Oftentimes we're blaming everybody for everything. Don't look behind you. Don't stay in that valley. Get to that mountain. My wife is the leftover queen. Especially when the kids were young. She would fix these humongous Sunday meals. Huh? Chicken and potatoes and sweet potato and green beans and macaroni and cheese. And of course, don't forget cornbread. We come home after church and we eat these big meals. And after dinner, she'd take the leftovers and she'll put it in the refrigerator. On Monday, the leftovers will come back out. I see her in the kitchen doing some dicing and chopping and sprinkling some cheese and all this other stuff. And I say, what we have for dinner? She give me some French name. I didn't even know what we were eating. It looked like something new. But you know what we were really eating was leftovers in the hands of the master. When God gives you what seems like leftovers, he's giving you something good. He knows how to take a difficult situation and work something together in such a way that we are left amazed at the outcome. All I'm trying to say, stop resisting God's deliverance of your life. Why? Because he wants to move you from the valley to the mountain. Give God a hand clap of praise, y'all. Hallelujah to his holy name. Amen.